Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your boy JP. Just wanted to let you know before we get into this episode of the Reality TV We're Happy Hour with Spencer and McCray from Big Brother 15 that there is a little bit of cursing in this one. Nothing too crazy, but a little more than normal. So if you are playing this at work or in front of your kids or something like that and you're really sensitive to that kind of stuff, just wanted to let you know it's nothing crazy at all, but I know that there usually is not really any cursing on the show. So I just wanted to give you guys a little bit of a heads up. Have fun. Enjoy this one. I had a great time talking to these guys. Spencer McCray had a lot of really good insights. Brent did as well. Brent does a great job as always. Give him some love. Really, go right now. Tweet Brent at OneLuckyGay on Twitter and tweet him and let Brent know I love him. Because seriously, Brent, Alex, Taryn, all those guys do such a great job and they deserve your love. All right. Ryan Elder, take it away.
It's the Reality TV We're Happy Hour with Jordan Barhar. Because you can't spell Barhar without R-H-A-P.
Big Brother Canada 4 has come to a close, which means it's time for another edition of the Reality TV We're Happy Hour. What's going on, everybody? My name's Jordan Parhar, and I'm here with you once again to talk some BB Can 4 on robhasawebsite.com with some former Big Brother house guests. And with me today, I am joined by two former U.S. alumni. They have a lot of things in common. They both host a podcast. They both went very deep into Big Brother 15, and they both do impressions. One does really good impressions of trolls on the internet, and that's the great McCray Olsen, ladies and gentlemen. McCray, how are you?
I only do great impressions because I was once a troll on the internet, so I know because I have been there.
McCray, can you please do your internet troll impression for us?
I don't know exactly what you're talking about. I was like, God damn it! I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, that was the one. It's sort of when you're like, blubby blubby blue.
Yeah, it's probably something like that. Sorry for the poop. Yeah.
And joining him today is somebody who has a great Tim Dormer impression. It's the great Spencer B. Lawson, ladies and gentlemen. Spencer, how are you?
Good day! See, I was able to come in right perfect with the Australian accent. Thanks for having me. I'm glad we could get this party back together 3 days ago.
Yeah, no, it's great to get things going, Spencer. Oh, man, no, I was on the block this past Friday, and I had a great time chatting with you guys to talk to BB Can 4, and here we are. You guys are on with me to break down the latest episode, so it should be a lot of fun. And with me, as always, is a live feed correspondent. Today, I'm joined by my good buddy. He loves to throw the shade, and he's in the shade tonight. It's the great Brent Walgamont. Brent, how are you?
JP, can somebody just hurry up and win already? Come on! God, I hate her.
Oh, Brent, were you getting some hate for the Nikki shade you were throwing? Because I don't know. I feel like it's kind of a contrarian opinion, although I don't totally disagree. I feel like Nikki is kind of, I don't know.
She's useless, and no, I got a little bit of hate tweet for it, but everybody pretty much agreed with my Dallas assessment, but most of the people really don't understand my LaVita love, although I kind of agree with them after watching her, like, have her ass attached to Joel for the past, like, 48 hours. It's pretty irritating, actually.
Okay, well, I guess this is a bad time for me to say that I love Ida, but we can save that for later. Alec Beal and I were talking about that the other day. Anyway, let's jump into this. So just to set things up for you guys, we are live on a Google Hangout. We are monitoring the chat room on robhasawebsite.com. So thank you to everybody who's joining us live. If you want to leave a question for us, there's two ways you can do that. You can leave a comment on the YouTube video, so this video you're watching right now, or you can tweet me. I'm at Jordan Parhar, and use hashtag RaHappyHour. We'll get into your questions later on in the show. We're going to start off by talking about the episode, and then we'll get into what's going on the live feed. So if you don't want to know any spoilers, don't worry about that. You're safe for now, but we'll get into that stuff in a little bit. Guys, let's jump right into this episode. Okay, so we find out Joel is the HOH. He wins this dual HOH competition, and he decides, after going back and forth for quite some time, to nominate two people from the Third Wheel Alliance. McCray, do we like this move?
Again, like I'm not a big fan of LaVita. Like, I always try to look at it from the players' perspectives, even if I don't like them. You know, last week she went after easy targets. She could have went after third wheel. She didn't. Joel does this week. I think it's a very dangerous move, but at the same time, you know, I was telling my girlfriend this same thing where it's like, I wish I was put in the position of, like, making a tough decision. First week, you win HOH, you know, it's easy. You're just like, ugh, I don't even know. Like, I'm just doing this on accident. Like, I don't really know you people. But, like, when it comes to third week, fourth week, or whatever, you know, like, you really know these people, and you have to actually make a decision. So this is a very ballsy move, one that I didn't think Joel would ever make. But the fact that he did make it shows to me that he's got cojones. I don't know if it's a good move. I'm still undecided. But at the same time, I think it makes he seemed weak maybe in other people's eyes. So maybe this gives him a little bit of a step up in people's eyes where it's like, this kid's not afraid to make a big move. So, you know, it could work both ways. I think it's still only time will tell on this opinion. What the fuck, Spencer? You're laughing. I see you laughing over here. What? Come on. What do you gotta say? What are you laughing at? I know it's something. Let's hear it.
No. It just was full. It was a ballsy move, and maybe it's not a ballsy move. I don't know.
Well, it's.
I don't mean to dick.
Here we go. It's one of those things though, where it's like only time will really tell. Because I mean, there's you can look at it both sides. You can look at it both sides, where it's like, you know, when you cross that line, when you make the first blow against the other side, like most often, they're going to come back after you twice as hard. You know, one of them is going to win HOH next week if you just probably look at, like, the probability of it all, or just, like, how Big Brother always works. The gods always play out in that kind of favor. So, like, one of them is probably going to win next week, and they might take the chance to, like, take a shot at Joel. But the thing about Joel is, you know, he's perceived weak. He's perceived as maybe I don't know how they perceive him, I guess, but in my head, it just seems like he's not the strongest player, even though he made this really strong move, so he might be looking clear next week. I don't know.
Intriguing stuff. Spencer, what do you think about this? Do you think that Joel is in a position now where he made a big move, and because of the perceived weakness, he can get off from this scot-free?
Yeah, I think there's a really good chance that LaVita is going to catch a lot of the blame for the nominations regardless. So Joel's more likable than she is. I think that she's going to be a big target no matter what. I think that his nominations were smart because taking out the third wheel alliance, trying to go after them, unless I'm totally screwed up here, I think that it was a smart move not putting the showmance up, because that keeps loyalty to Jared, who he perceives as the strongest and most reasonable to work with once the three are split up. And I think that Jared's seen as a guy that's good to his word, so if you can make a deal, then I think that's a good deal to make. He doesn't take it personally, and he gets put up on the block, so that works out in Joel's favor too. And, you know, Raul is the third wheel. So, I mean, like, that's a good move. He's somebody that could win challenges. He's, like, an obvious threat. He's a dude that you know, he could have long range in this game without the other two, you know. So I think it's all good. I think it's all good. Good gnomes. Let's put up for.
Brent
and Ramsey, that wouldn't happen.
Yeah, Brent, we saw on the episode tonight not Maddie and Ramsey. We saw Kelsey and Raul go speak to Joel. Raul kind of awkwardly broke up a conversation.
You think?
It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. But how was that the only combo that those guys had with, other than the Jared conversation that we saw as well? Were those really the only conversations that were had with Joel prior to these nominations from that side of the house?
Well, JP, I don't even know how you can call this a conversation. I mean, basically, Raul walked into the room and said, I don't really know how to do this. Like, and that was it. It was just, you know, nothing. I mean, far be it for me to speak ill of a fellow gay, but he's terrible. Like, how did he even get in the house? Seriously. He can't really talk game with anybody. I love Raul. I think everybody, you know, it's hard to hate on somebody like that, but he's just, he's not providing a lot of it for me right now. I agree.
I kind of don't understand it. I don't understand why everyone hates Raul. I don't, like, I mean, maybe I haven't been watching enough, but, like,
yeah, I don't know.
what's going on? Like, why does everyone hate him so much?
He just doesn't bring a lot to the table, I feel like. He's just sort of there. He doesn't know how to talk any game. He can't think of any strategy. And he's just, like, he's not even a comp threat. I mean, at least Gary in Big Brother 1 was a comp threat. Raul, you know, says, I play baseball in eighth grade, and this is going to be a piece of cake. And then walks up there and whiffs like a five-year-old girl. Like, it was terrible.
Well, I think to answer your question, McCray, as well, I think partially a big part of Big Brother Canada is that the fans love the underdogs, and Raul is not a part of the underdogs. He's with the king and the queen, and he's with them, is guilty by association. It's not just Raul who's getting the hate. Kelsey has been getting a lot of hate as well, as you guys have talked about on the Block. I mean, it's been a thing, and it's unfortunate, but it happens it just happens for whatever reason, and there's no real rhyme or reason to it, right? I mean, why? Because he hasn't done anything.
I think that's kind of the point that I'm kind of trying to allude to, is that, like, I mean, yeah, I get it. Like, I get it, and I get why that he probably should go this week. I mean, either... But I think that, like, I think that, you know, he is playing okay. Like, he's playing, like, the middle ground. Like, he is just, like, laying it low. Like, sure, he joined up with, like, a very strong pair, but, like, the whole idea of the third wheel is literally that he's the third wheel, I mean, to a degree, and, like, this is going to come back to bite him in the ass, but at the same time, like, in his head, I bet he was like, oh, third wheel, like, they're always going to go before me, you know, like, to me, in his head, like, this is a decent setup that he had. I think it's just, like, only now is, like, the bad shakeout of, all these bad happenings, you know? Like, now he's on the bad side. I don't think in a different season of Big Brother, I don't think it would have happened like that. I think he would have been the safe man, and I think that, you know, Jared and Kelsey would have went up. Jared, right. Is that his name? I can never get it. And I'm always like, is that Jared Garrett? I don't know.
we just call him the Emmett for season 4.
Exactly. Well, Canada. That's the problem. Problem is that I want to call him Emmett.
Yeah, Emmett Jr. Okay, so let's talk about the actual HOH win from Joel himself. I mean, we saw the logic here. I mean, there was a lot of talk last week. People were saying, you know, we were saying on my show last week, when I was on with you guys, Spencer and McCray, we were like, oh, well, why would Joel want to win this HOH? Oh, well, maybe it was because they really didn't want to, they didn't want those pairs that were rivals to team up. And that seems to be a big reason in why they did that, but they didn't really show that too much on the show. So, Spencer, how do you feel about Joel winning this HOH? Do you think that it could ultimately be a mistake for him?
You know, Joel was ready to make a move. He felt like it was necessary for himself to, and I like that. I'm a big Mitch fan. I like how Mitch is playing. I think Mitch is smart. I love something about his cadence of his voice. He's got a very logical. I don't know. I'm a Mitch fan, so I'm glad that Mitch is going to stay. Stays out of the HOH this week. So for Joel, you know, I think that he's going to set some things in motion and kind of get out with not as much blood on his hands as I would have anticipated at the end of this. So yeah, I think that he's made a smart move and he's playing it well.
Yeah, I'm excited to see. And at first, I was very concerned, but just based on this episode and seeing what's happening on the feeds, I'm feeling a little bit more confident. Brent, so before we get into it too much in the live feeds, one thing that I heard a lot about this week was LaVita talking to Joel all the time, incessantly, before making his nominations. How has she, like, not left his side since he's won this HOH?
I wasn't kidding when I said earlier that she was attached to him. Literally, like, he went up to the HOH room, and this is no spoilers, but he went up to the HOH room about an hour before the show started tonight, and I was thinking, like, how long is it going to be before LaVita is up in the HOH room? I thought maybe like a half hour tops. It was 10 minutes. Seriously, she was right up there with him just to hang out. Like, and I don't think it goes beyond our purview here to say that the house probably does blame LaVita more for these nominations than Joel. At least that's my feeling.
All right. Well, so that's probably a really good thing for Joel moving forward. And poor LaVita. I mean, she really can't catch a break.
She really can't.
Right, so, Spencer? It's almost like, you know, I'm trying to come up with an analogy for it, but I can't. It's just like she just has the worst luck. It's crazy. And part of it is, I feel like, from her own doing a little bit. Like, she means well, but it's sort of like, I don't know, it's like a kid wanting to, like, get, like, a really great present for his parents, or his or her parents for their birthday, but they just, like, keep screwing it up, and they keep, like, getting it wrong all the time, and they mean well, but just keeps getting it so terribly wrong, and
she could have really good luck, because she's won two head of households out of the two that she's really been eligible for, and she wasn't evicted the week that she probably should have been evicted, and this week she's totally safe, so...
That's true!
I'd like to have that kind of luck.
But
we're also at least what, two or three away from jury, and LaVita is made a lot of people mad. She's
fair.
You know, she's in a position to where she is going to catch a lot of blame for a very strong move that's happened in the house. I don't see LaVita making it to jury. Honestly, I think that if she does, it will either be again, like kind of like dumb luck that she just kind of stumbled into winning another HOH or something. But you know, LaVita's gonna have a tough time getting much further. I really feel that way. She's put herself up as one of the obvious people to nominate. You know, so like Raul, we were talking about him earlier. Like, okay, I don't want to get too spoilery, but Raul is somebody that you could, like, he could be in a very Victoria position. Okay, if he stays this week. Okay, I do see him as somebody to take
to just along.
Yes. So like, I could see depth with him. I could see that happening with LaVita. She's not HOH this week. She's not nominated. She's not in any real danger. But there's a lot of just laser vision and focused on hating her, and that's brewing in the house. So danger.
I would say that LaVita, this is one of those, like, personal experience, like, oh, fucking stop talking about your season. But I think that LaVita definitely holds a same, like, to me, from my experience, like, LaVita reminds me of Alyssa.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter this week. I saw a few people
really?
Saying that. Yeah, I did. You're
I
not
did
the
not,
only one.
I've, yeah, I have not seen that. But yeah, to me, it cool. just it feels like that same thing. Like, even you see on this episode, Cassandra talking to LaVita and being like, you know, every time we have a conversation, I feel like you're a space cadet out in the space world, you know? And, like, I said to my girlfriend, like, I feel like I've been there before. Like, I know exactly what that's like. And she said the same thing to me, talking about me. But, yeah. But, like, that's a thing where it's like it just seems like a person that it's like there's the logic doesn't like it doesn't compute, like there's something that's not right. I don't know, like, again, this is my biased view from what we've seen on the show, what we've seen on the feeds, but I don't know, to me I just get that same inkling, that same like feeling of like, ooh, this would be such a tough player to play with, you know, just because it's like you don't know what they're going to do. They have their there's something that's not computing. I don't know.
Yeah. Brent, we saw on the show tonight that fight where Cassandra was saying, "This is you're acting like you're in high school," and then she made that face where she was just like, right, like a terror when she was like going to hug her. How that I heard that conversation
that went
on for a long time, right? Like how long was that?
Oh my God, I left that conversation and like it apparently still went on for another half hour after I left it already because I just couldn't put up with it anymore because it was literally like I saw a GIF on Twitter of it was from South Park I think of this guy like beating a dead horse and that's exactly what it was the whole time because they just kept saying the same thing over and over in different ways, talking in circles, and like it's amazing to me that they haven't killed each other yet.
Okay, yeah. So Spencer, are we gonna have to hire some security in Niagara Falls at the end of the season? Are Cassandra and LaVita gonna kill each other?
Oh no, absolutely not. They'll have plenty of time. LaVita will have plenty of time to get over that. While Cassandra's in the jury too, so I think there'll be plenty of time for those ones to heal. So, like I said, I think Cassandra's in a better position than LaVita. They're gonna have plenty of time to get over those differences.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of Cassandra, she is not a have-not this week after the results of that have-not competition with that little twist. I guess we can't say Twisto's twist, but just a normal, regular brand twist from Big Brother.
What's up with Twisto's? They had to have gotten their money's worth last season.
Oh yeah, the did say, Arisa did say in an interview in preseason that there will be less twists this season, so maybe Big Brother thought, well, maybe we don't need to use the Twisto's twist anymore. I have no idea what the logic is.
This is the thing I want to on the block. This is like one of the, remember when I was like, oh, I wanted to talk about something, but I completely forgot it.
Okay.
Like, you remember that?
Yep.
That's Friday, yes. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. This is the cliffhanger to that one that no one gave a fuck about. Oh, sorry. Yeah. But I'm curious to know about, like, how many twists were there during last season? Like, in how many? We're at week three
What's
or four.
What's the twist count? Yeah. What was the twist count this time?
Well, right now, the twists are we have – Brent, what do we have? We have the brothers. We have the wild cards.
Right. I can't really think of anything else that's happened.
And then
But there's like passive twists, like the brothers, you know, and then there's –
Right. That's not – I don't even really count that as a twist because they – like it wasn't like they sprung it on them. Like they weren't in the house 5 seconds and they told them about it.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Literally at this point in Big Brother Canada 3, they had the eviction where, you know, everybody went in and nominated two people in the diary room, mm-hmm. and then the house thought they were going to vote on it, and then Canada voted on it, and then the next week it was an instant eviction, and you literally had to, like, Survivor write down your name, and then they had the veto where Bruno could use the double veto, but then he chose not to use it. Like, there were tons of twists in Big Brother Canada.
So much stuff. Yeah. And so, like, now, like, this is Big Brother Canada, like, for learning? Are they learning, like, okay, this is not what people want? Are they actually, like, adapting and being like, okay, well, let's go on?
To me, it's like this. This is, and I'd like to hear what Brent and Jordan have to say about this. But I think it's pretty simple. Like Brent just said, the brothers didn't get a chance to play secretly or anything like that. They told them from the very get-go, okay, what was going on. This is the game is being played. Like, it was, the chessboard was set up this way, okay? You've got the wild cards in there, and then you've got the brothers. I don't think they want to take any unnecessary risks that could – throw Tim or Nikki under the bus when, oh, it's a triple eviction, let's get Tim out real quick. You know, something like that. I see they're kind of going to play it safe as far as instance triples, you know, just thinking of crazy right now. And it's making, I mean, the gameplay with the two sides setting up shop and then the middle now with Joel being HOH and kind of taking a swing towards one side, the gameplay is evolving so organically. I think a twist would really screw it up. So I hope that they pull things back, and they're not waiting to unleash something. You're going to really screw some stuff up. I think if they do anything, the next twist should be, and that would be, you know, I think that would be a good twist going into, like, first week of jury type thing.
Yeah, and I was going to talk about the have-not competition, but speaking of, we're going on about these Twisto's twists, what we heard at the end of this episode, and it was very, very quick, if you know, a lot of times, I don't know about you guys, but I'll see the credits for one of these shows, and I'll be like, oh, okay, switch the channel or turn the TV off, but like, at the very end of the show, the announcer guy was like, stay tuned for Thursday's episode, where there will be a fake double eviction. Greg does a much better impression of that guy than I do. So fake double eviction, guys. Brent, we speculated on this last week. So
right,
interesting.
And didn't you poo-poo it because you thought they needed to get people out of the house?
No, that was actually Mike Bloom who pooped.
Okay. I will have words with Mike Bloom then, yes. But you're right. It was Mike Bloom. Yes, I'm actually shocked that they are doing a fake double, because if it works the way I think it's going to work, they're going to evict whoever is Joel's evictee this week, if it's Kelsey or Raul or somebody else, if the veto's used. And then they're going to have like a whole like night of Big Brother in one night. But then I'm thinking that when the person starts to go out the door, like literally, like they're voted out, you're getting ready to walk out the door, and Arisa says, oh, psych, it really wasn't, and we had it announced in Canada this whole time.
Frank right. 84.
But that will expose, hopefully that will expose a lot of interesting stuff in the house. I'm not sure it will, though, because I feel like most people kind of know where they stand in the house right now.
Well, yeah, no, absolutely. But and this is the thing, it's a great twist not run the risk of losing any of your big players either. So
exactly, right? That's the best part about it. You know, For sure, right? You don't lose any of your big players in this game. So Spencer, what do you think about have you seen because there has been a fake double eviction. They have done them in other international versions before. Have you seen any footage of this at all, Spencer?
I've seen a fake. This will be my first.
This will be your first. Okay. McCray, what about you? Hey, McCray, you haven't seen it.
This will be my first as well. This just seems bonkers.
Because Brent, did you go and look on YouTube at what this is like?
No, not after I heard Alex describing it to me on Twitter, one of the other live feeders. But I mean, I have to imagine it's very similar to like what happened in Big Brother 9 when James was walking out the door, and then they, you know, said, "Oh, surprise!"
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or even in Big Brother 16 when Victoria was evicted and I think she was saying goodbye to everybody, right? And Julie said, "You know, surprise, it's a reset because you pressed the button." So, yeah, I think it's going to be something like that.
Oh, that reset. What a great twist that was.
Reset.
Yeah. But I that's why I'm glad that they're doing this instead. It's all going to be in a night, and we'll get to see it. But I actually went and watched this on YouTube this morning, the Big Brother Australia 2013, the season that Tim was on, in which they did the fake double eviction. And what they did was they grabbed this guy, Ben, and they hid him in the house, and then they gave him some extra power. And I didn't watch the episode after that, so I don't know exactly what the payoff was. So kind of poor research by me.
Right, great research.
Yeah, exactly. But so I don't know. So maybe they're gonna hide this person in the high roller room because thanks to some insight that I have, I know that you can access. Well, I think people can figure this out with the secret room in Big Brother Canada 2. You can access that high roller room in the house from outside of the house, so we could actually have somebody walk out on stage with Arissa and then go right back in and hide in the high roller room for a little bit, and then who knows what power they would get. Maybe a secret veto would make sense, or something along those lines. Who knows?
I would prefer that they would do something like that, where they would actually have like the house guests walk outside, interview with Arissa, go back in secretly, because like I think 14 was pretty much like, Frank, you've been eliminated, but then also like, oh wait, Frank, no, you're sticking in. Like, it was pretty much like Frank never walked out of the house. Like, the fact that they get to walk out of the house, like, it solidifies it in the minds of the other house guests. So it's even a bigger surprise when this person will walk back in. I think that's the best way that they should do it. When I heard about this twist, I was like, this is insanity. And this is a non-twist, which I think is amazing and awesome. I'm so glad that Big Brother Canada is going this route instead of like the constant, let's just put up Andrew and Sabrina. Or that's what it was, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm glad that it's not just like a total house wrecker. You know, like this is something that could be really fun. This is going to be something really, you know, it's going to throw a wrench in a lot of people's plays. You know, I think this is going to be a fun one. And I'm just, like, really personally happy that it's not something that's as a game changer, you know?
I'm with you as well. Keep the twists within the game, like amongst the house guests, and don't let the outside influence completely take over, right? Because then it kind of takes away from, I don't know, it feels like for me,
the science
of the game.
If you take away that control, then it's like, what are we basing anything off of? I think it's like, if we look at Big Brother as like an ecosystem, and we're watching these rats move throughout the house, and we're watching them eat whatever, and they're going through the maze, you know? It's like, you don't want to introduce something that doesn't make sense with the control. Like, this is science. Like,
Biodome, bro.
Just like Biodome.
Just like
you don't
Biodome.
Want Pauly Shore
you
and
Brent Fraser
getting your shit.
that was Stephen Baldwin.
Oh, yes. Oh, Baldwin. You're both horrible actors. So.
Hey, you know what I would like to see him do? Well, like, Canada is good about using the vetoes creatively. And I would like to see a new use of the veto, like a new, you know, different color veto that could have different powers and be used differently that could in turn help save some. But at least it would be a fun twist. And it would be something that would, you know, be different and creative, but still within the realm of the good, pure format. So,
For sure. Yeah, well, I think Dallas would like that too, because, you know, that last week when he won, he seemed to think that he also had the power to nominate someone as well, but in reality, he just had the veto. Okay, so quickly, guys, one thing I wanted to talk about from the episode before we jump into the live feed portion of the show is the Have Not competition. It was this baseball comp, which I really liked to see. Like the sports comps. It was entertaining. But we saw Tim kind of really lose it in this comp. He throws the baseball bat, and Maddie is like, ah! It was like making the sound as if she like got stabbed, and it's like, okay, come on. I watched the replay, Maddie. It hit you in the leg.
Come
I mean,
on.
Not really, not really the biggest thing in the world. What did you think about Tim's outburst, McCray? Did that surprise you?
It surprised me 100%. I think that production, like, in the DR had been like, all right, you have to say you're sorry. Like, it seemed like totally an out-of-character thing from Tim. Like, sure, Tim is wild and crazy. I don't know, like, I didn't watch Australia. I don't know anything about him. I didn't watch Australian Apprentice. Like, but it just seemed, like, off-character for him to throw a shit fit like that. Again, sorry. But, like, to me, I was just like, like, this seems not character. Like, this seems off character. This doesn't seem like you. Like, have you been hiding this little temper tantrum fit guy?
Slopstress, bro.
Well, and like, but Slopstress, this guy hasn't even been on slop once. Like, you don't even feel Slopstress.
You don't have to go on Slopstress.
Oh, you want Slopstress? Get on it once and then try to lose the next game you're going to play. Like, Slopstress is pretty much like, after you've been on it once, you're pretty much willing to die so that you never go on it again. Like, that's Slopstress. Being like, I want to go on it once, that's just being a little bitch. I'm sorry, but, like, come on,
Tim likes things to go his way, and he didn't know the sport. His team was losing. The other team was rubbing it in. Now, you know, they're going
to
be...
Like, welcome to North America, bro. Like,
we talk shit, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is Australia, homie. You know, Chazwazer's here. Right. I don't know. To me, it seemed like it wasn't a misplay by the production or anything like that, because it was a misplay by Tim, because this dude is garnering a brand. Like, he knows that he's a brand. He knows everything about, like, but this was a total misplay for his brand. And when you are dealing with international people that have come here that have international fame, like, you have to think about stuff like that, like brand, because these people think about brand nonstop. These are all about brand. This is all about, like, oh, this is pushing Tim's brand. That's why he's doing this. Like,
I personally did not like to see him tearing the setup. I didn't like to see that the hedge being messed up. I know that was, like, very minor, but people work hard for that. You know what I'm saying? It's pretty aesthetic
for sure.
Game. And this was a fun game. It was supposed to be fun. I do agree with McCray that I think that this was, you know, it was a little bit of a tantrum. It was unnecessary.
It was a tantrum. It was entertaining, though. That's the thing, is, like, it still gets points for entertainment. But the other thing, I want to just say, I want to say quickly, Trevor Boris, that's his name. Shout out to Trevor for, I mean, even this HOH that was in this episode was amazing. I think this was a great one. You could do so many creative shots with them. Looks like they're kissing. Just, like, brilliant HOH competition.
So
and I think that going into this Have Not competition, I think Have Nots are kind of a throwaway competition, but I think that this dude is so talented. Like, even he puts in the work for this, like, this Have Not competition, because I the whole time was like, this is a competition that I would kill. This I would love to play in. I'd love to be in it in any regard. Joel's being the baseball announcer, I would love to do that.
Here comes Jared up to pitch, and
like, I've got my baseball voice all set up. Like, I would have destroyed this hosting job. Like, everything about this comp was just amazing, and I really hope that U.S. has their eye on Canada, because, you know, there's a lot that they should be taking away from these games, as they're really fun. They're team building games. You know?
Right. JP, the thing that's lost in all this is that they were drinking the entire time. That's the thing that they don't do in the United States. They were literally hammered. And by the way, I just want you to know, they totally edited that whole thing with the Have Not competition and what happened on the field and then what happened afterwards. Like, Mitch apparently was so butthurt about, sorry, that's a really bad thing to say about him, about the fact that he had a really terrible reaction and apparently did something that he was really ashamed of. Did we see that in this episode? No. No, because he's their golden boy and they don't want him to look bad. Again, with Tim, they really underplayed how much his little bat incident caused them to really fight against each other. Apparently, Jared and Dallas were literally in each other's face on the field. And, like, it was really, really tough out there. Yeah, like, oh, this, wow. Like, they, when they came back in, they were pissed.
Yeah.
Like, and the feeds didn't come back on for another 2 hours, so I don't really know how long. I mean, if you think about how long that competition took, and you know that there was beer over there for them to drink the entire time, and if you also know that one of the teams realized they were probably going to be have-nots the minute this competition ended and were chugging that beer like crazy, which was Tim's team, that's where all this emanated from.
Interesting. So yeah. Was Maddie also upset at Tim for throwing the bat, Brent?
Yeah, she was just crying about it. Like, it was a way for her to get attention. Come on. Like, I mean, of course, I didn't. Like, I mean, this is all filled in after the fact. I couldn't, you know, we weren't actually watching it on the feeds. But from what I could gather, it was just a free-for-all, like, where they were just all really, really pissed at each other. And by the way, Big Brother did a really good thing by letting them choose teams because, of course, they chose people from their own side. Mm-hmm. So then the teams reflected the dynamics in the house. And you got – that's what you got this amazing rivalry and this outburst in the competition. If it had been a team like Jared and Dallas and Maddie and Kelsey, you would never have got them fighting with, like, other people like Mitch and Nikki and whatnot.
It's a beautiful thing when Big Brother does that, really. I would have loved that.
That's another tip of the hat to, you know, Boris, Trevor Boris, that, like, he set this whole thing up that, you know, is a good setup for these people to start really hating each other and right. over something like food, you know? Like, that's what we're here for. We're here for this, like, sociological game, you know? Like, punish some people and don't punish others and watch them just devour each other. Oh, love it. Good job.
Yeah, great job by production. Okay, guys, let's jump into the live feed portion of the show. So if you do not want to know any spoilers for this episode and who won the veto and what the plans are, who's going home, that kind of stuff, then now is the time we'll have to bid you farewell. But don't worry, we'll be back on Wednesday night after the episode. I'll be talking with Dr. Neha Serene. She'll be returning to the Happy Woo! Hour, and we'll be breaking down the latest happenings in the BB Can 4 house.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay, Brent, let's do it. Spoilers. What's happening? Who won the veto?
Amazingly, my favorite person in the house won the veto. Dallas wins again.
Oh, Big Daddy, as Christine was calling him last week. Right? Dallas has won the veto. All right, interesting. So what have been the ramifications of this, Brent?
Well, the instant ramifications of it are it was some sort of a competition. Spencer is telling me that it was some sort of a hold'em, fold'em-ish challenge, but I'm still unclear how Dallas won the power of veto, but he's also stuck in a costume for the week as a cactus, which, by the way, I said on Twitter looks like a Yeti, which I think really fits him. and then Kelsey, I think, won some money. She won like $1,000. And Raul got a punishment where he had to complete 1,000 ropes of a bull. So, you know, Raul looks exactly like a cowboy, so I'm sure that's going to go over well.
No beast mode cowboy in this season. Just
right.
I don't know what we want to call.
I hope they took a hint and like, okay, well, let's do that. Let's make them rope some. I think that's a cool punishment. That kind of stuff kind of happened after Big Brother 15, where they started to like punish people and like make them do miserable stuff.
Well, hold on. I recall Spencer wearing a very entertaining chicken costume of BB-15.
That is true.
That was not miserable. That was hilarious, and it was enjoyable for all.
That was like a million degrees. I hated wearing that. I'm taking off like my forehead, leave the hat on my knee, and they'd say, Spencer, can you please put on the chicken hat?
By the way, JP, I really wanted to quickly tell you that Raul did complete his bull roping punishment today. I will tell you that Mitch was the first person in Big Brother history that I have seen who posited the idea that, you know, maybe you don't want to complete this challenge because you're currently on the block, and if people know you can't compete in HOH next week, if that's the punishment he would get for not completing said punishment, then it would, they would have reason to keep you. So I don't know if maybe Raul went to Big Brother and they, I don't, maybe there was no punishment. I don't know what there was, but apparently either Raul decided to go ahead and complete the punishment, which I think is a bad call.
Yeah, for sure.
But or maybe that wasn't what the punishment was. Maybe he couldn't play in veto next week or something like that. That wouldn't really get him much with the other house guests. But it does bring to light the fact that Mitch is probably the best player in the house right now, because I was happy to see that.
Well, we've seen this on BB16. What was it? Brittany,
I believe.
Brittany with the soccer.
Well, we were saying that, but I don't think it was anybody in the house saying that.
No, you're 100% right.
Yeah.
Excuse me. You're 100% right. But this is, I think, probably the first time that we saw it there. Again, she was probably, I think she was on the block, but it was one of those things where it's like, why wouldn't you throw that? We talked about it on the block, me and Spencer. You know, like, why wouldn't you throw that? Why wouldn't you, like, try to show people
you have less
opportunities in the future. And
look weak, say I can't complete it. Obviously, you can evict me next week. Yeah, but instead she went with the whole, like, I'm going to show them I'm a strong woman and I'm a strong competitor.
Yeah.
That was the wrong thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. I mean, like, all we need to think about is Big Brother 8, okay, Jamaica, when she got that punishment from, I think it was a veto competition where she had to wager, I think she had to sit out 5 consecutive HOH competitions.
Oh my God.
And that was the greatest thing that happened in Jamaica's game, because everybody was like, well, she can never win head of household. Why the hell would I get rid of her? She's just chilling. She's hanging out. And she rode all the way to Final Four as a result of that. So I think that anytime you have one of these things where you cannot win HOH, don't do the punishment of the last suing or whatever the heck Raul is doing, because people are going to keep you around if you can't win. I mean, you're not a threat to anybody. So that's just very interesting to me. Brent, where is the house lying right now? I mean, Dallas, I feel like, he's not going to use the veto, correct?
No, he's already told Raul and anybody who's willing to listen that he's not going to use the veto. So no, the veto's not going to be used. It's going to be Kelsey or Raul who's going to go home. It's very up in the air right now, and this could change 1,000 times until Thursday, but if I had to guess right now, I would say it's probably going to be Kelsey, although that's what Joel wants, and that's what LaVita wants. And I think that's what Mitch wants, but there are other people in the house who even they've been talking to Dallas, the brothers, Cassandra, and Tim, who are trying to put the idea that maybe it's a good idea to evict Raul, because he's somebody who could be, as Spencer said, Victoria to the end, and instead we should evict Raul instead and keep Kelsey, because that keeps a target on the other side of the house in the showmance of Jared and Kelsey. So it's if I had to bet, I think it would be Kelsey, because I think Joel's probably going to get his way. But it's close.
Yeah.
Spencer. Go ahead, Spencer.
I was just going to say, you run the risk of taking out the other side of the house. Without Kelsey, there is no showmance. If there's a showmance, there's at least another side of the house still. You know, if you run the risk of sending Kelsey home, Jared, there, what's really that? You know, is that much? And that's a situation you take. You could dissolve the entire side of the house, and then what? Then it's Joel, LaVita versus the people they don't trust, and Dallas and Maddie and Ramsey. There's no telling what all could shake out once there's no other side of the house. There's no enemy.
I agree with that in a vacuum. However, Joel thinks and Mitch thinks that once Kelsey is out of the way, that they'll both be able to control and have better relationships with Jared and with Raul, respectively. Mitch is particularly close to Raul, and Joel has a working relationship with Jared. And I think once Kelsey's out of there, then they think that they can bond with them, and they won't be so inseparable as a third wheel.
However, if this is what they are thinking, if Joel's thinking, if Kelsey's gone, then I can work with Jared and this will be great. Isn't this plan a little flawed, McCray? Because we saw in week 2, Jared specifically went after LaVita and Shari only because LaVita got rid or wanted to get rid of Kelsey in week 1.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the way that I guess I've seen it, I guess, was pretty much like a lot of people are just like, well, it really doesn't matter because it's like one of those pro-con kind of things where you can just set up the pros and cons of it, and no matter how many times you write whatever down, like, it's pretty much going to even out no matter what. People think that if Kelsey goes, that Jared has nothing to lose now, and he's going to be stronger, which me, I kind of personally agree with. Once you lose your thing that you really cared about, then you are going to be guns blazing, it doesn't matter, let's go. Yeah, I'm sorry. There.
I cannot see Jared in the phrase guns blazing in the same sentence.
No, come on. Like, all right, think about it. Like, I don't know. Like, usually it happens, though, where it's like, you know, you lose your significant other and it's all out war, you know?
Right.
So if he loses that, then it's just going to be hell on earth for everyone else in the house because this dude has a mission. What?
It could at least give him motive. No, what I'm just going to say is that it would – for sure, facilitate a motivation for revenge.
You're starting the great story,
which would just get us through the middle part of the game. But it's not any kind of strategy that would take Jared far.
Right, but to be clear, though, the revenge is not from Jared is not going to be directed at Joel. Like Jared and Joel are still very cool at this point. Amazingly, it's amazing to me how Joel has been the HOH. And the funny part is that everyone thinks that LaVita basically strong-armed him and influenced him into these nominations. Joel doesn't want people to think that. He wants people to think he's his own man and that she didn't do this. But it's working to his advantage from a game point of view that people are blaming it all on LaVita. If Jared even got into a fight with LaVita, which I've never seen him raise his voice to other people, and said, you know, that's really bad. I can't remember exactly how he said it. It was in his Jared way of fighting with people. Like, it's really bad of you.
Brent, was it more intense or less intense than the Dallas fight we saw on the show tonight?
Oh, it was definitely less intense than that one, yes. Okay. even less intense than that one.
Because that even seemed like, and if you want to explain that as well from the feeds, like, for me, like, watching the show, if, like, that was, like, let's say Greg last year or, like, right. Andrew Gordon in that spot, it would have been so fiery, but instead he was just like, you got your team and we got ours, and let's go.
Yeah, that's the thing, that Jared's just not like that. It was his version of raising your voice is just not like mine would be if I was in the house, you know, for instance. But it was interesting to see him, like I said, LaVita is the one who is paying the price for these nominations. It's not Joel. I would say even Joel is even more under the radar than Mitch at this point. I would say Mitch has even gotten a little bit of heat from people here and there, and Joel really hasn't. So that's intriguing to me because Joel was the one who has the levers of power this week.
Okay. One thing before we get into the questions, Brent, that I wanted to ask you. Sorry, Spencer, do you have something?
Well, I just wanted to kind of talk real between the four of us about Jared real quick, all right?
Yeah.
For real, just as people that we've watched him play, we've watched him on the feeds. We feel like we know a little bit about this guy. If Kelsey goes and he's looking for somebody, who would pick him up? I wouldn't 100. I would for sure. I'd want Jared on my side.
Certainly, yes. He's a loyal vote. I feel like he would go down.
He's a mercenary at this point. He's a soldier for hire.
But Jared is like he's somebody that can he I think that he's still just because the way he carries himself. I think he's got a potential to go deep.
If he
gets Kelsey away from him, and I get to the day, he reminds y'all of Wayne Campbell a little bit.
Wait, hold on, Arkansas internet your way through that one. Hold on, go back. What was that?
He had a little black hat the other day. And he looked like Wayne from Wayne's World.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that totally works. I have not heard that yet, but maybe Earth Dog on Twitter can make a Photoshop of Jared.
Good Kelsey and Jared, yeah, with Garth. Yeah. That would be good.
That would be pretty sweet.
Sorry, my dial-up's poor tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's all good. It happens. It's certainly an excellent point. I mean, if you're in the game and you see honest guy who, when he was HOH, he just was like point blank, hey, Levita, Shari, I'm going after you. You went after my side of the house, so I'm going after you now. Like, he was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He doesn't lie. I think people view him as trustworthy, and if Kelsey goes this week, I think that's really good for his game, to be honest with you, because, like Spencer, you said, that side pretty much kind of is, it's no longer really a threat. It's just Raul and, you know, Jared is for hire. Back to the feeds before we get into the questions. Brent, today, Tim had a conversation with Cassandra about his knowledge of Big Brother Canada, and he kind of revealed some stuff. Do you want to get into that?
Well, yeah, he said that I thought you were talking about the thing about where he mentioned that he had watched this past season of Survivor.
That's what I'm – not that, but let's talk about both.
Oh, okay. Well, he had mentioned to Cassandra – or he had mentioned to – I think it was Cassandra – that he watched this past season of Survivor. He was talking about voting blocks. And I had missed this conversation. I had to go back and look at it because Taryn brought it up on Twitter, because Taryn is another one of the live feeders. And he had mentioned that obviously Tim has watched Rob has a podcast or something in Survivor, because we were going on about the prevalence of voting blocks and is the voting block strategy a new thing. And so that's what Tim kind of thinks is going on this year in Big Brother Canada. I don't know that that's necessarily true, but there it does seem to be a more fluid situation than maybe we normally have.
Okay, and then so the conversation as well about Big Brother Canada 2, Brent, did you see that?
Yes, but I forget. What did he say? I forget.
Okay. Yeah. So he went to and here we go. Look at old Jordan Parhar giving you guys some.
Oh yeah, here
it is. Inside stuff. But yeah. So he was talking to Cassandra, and he watched the entire season.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he revealed that to Cassandra, which I think is a big deal, because he went around for the first little while saying like, what's a nomination? How does the power of veto work? Like all this kind of stuff. But now that Cassandra knows, do you think that this could hurt him, Brent?
Of course. She's going to go tell people, like, especially if her butt gets on the line. I mean, like, why would you go through the whole spiel of trying to sell that and then blow it? Like, this is, we talked about this. I can't even remember what show or what podcast, how hard it is to keep a secret in the Big Brother house because you got nothing better to do. People think, oh, it's easy, just don't tell them. And, of course, that would be easy for us because we're sitting on the outside doing things in our life and we're busying ourselves with things. But they're stuck in a house with nothing else to do. At some point, he says, it just gets to him. He wants to tell somebody, you know, by the way, yeah, I really did watch Big Brother Canada 2 at some point. And it just totally blows his game to smithereens. Like, seriously. Any game that he had at that point with Cassandra, I feel like is hurt irreparably by the fact that she knows now he was totally smoking them the whole time when he was saying he didn't know anything about it.
Go ahead, Spencer.
I was going to say, it seems like I did not see this conversation when he revealed that. But at certain times, I feel like people will reveal their level of fandom or their, they know what's going on. Just to demonstrate a certain amount of confidence.
Right.
I'm like, hey, I'm not this big a fool. Like, come with me. You know? And so it's not the dumbest thing that he's just running his mouth. You know, hopefully there was some of that, like, let's draw you in and keep it close. But I mean, it's information that at some point I don't think it's gonna hurt Tim. Not bad. I don't think that it depends on how it's used. But at a certain point, if she's like, he's seen Big Brother Canada 2, you'd be like, okay. You know, I mean, like, it really at a certain point it becomes very benign information. So.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Jordan, I forgot about this part of the conversation where Tim somehow made the analogy of Levita to Sabrina, and I do not really see how that is applicable. I mean, Sabrina was pretty terrible with a, you know, it's us against them mentality. Levita is sort of in no man's land at this point, and she can definitely win some stuff. She's feisty. I mean, I know they're feisty. That's about where I think that's where the comparison ends.
See, it won't hurt him at all because he didn't even watch it closely.
Right.
Am I the only one, though, in this little group here that doesn't like Levita?
No, I think, Brent, you said you don't really like Levita, right?
Or
I like her. She's a train wreck, but she's our train wreck. I love Levita. I really do. Yeah.
Well, I don't know what it is. I do not know what it is.
Levita is you made an Alyssa connection earlier. Like, let's blend it a little farther with Alyssa and Devin, okay? Hey, I'm just saying, like, right now, like 2 weeks. The stuff that's going on now.
What 2 weeks? Wait, go back. You broke a little bit. What 2 weeks? What are you saying, 2 weeks?
I'm saying that LaVita is laying the groundwork for what's going to happen this next 2 weeks. This double eviction obviously will be influenced. She could be one of the ones that goes, or she could be one that's always, so when these people get back in, they're extra pissed off at her. I mean, she's going to be a catalyst. Her behavior is going to be a catalyst for the next few weeks. So she's a great character. I mean, like, you can like her or hate her, and she's not getting any kind of her betrayal is not very good. I think she should be given more of like a Philip Shepherd edit. You know what I'm saying? Because they could definitely make that happen, like the specialist a little bit. But I don't know. LaVita's playing a big role right now.
It's interesting. I mean, there are times where I do feel like, yes, LaVita should be getting a Philip Shepherd like edit. But then, like, it's sort of like I saw someone else tweet this as well. Like, LaVita's smart, but she's playing dumb, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, she's smarter than this, like, with a lot of things she's doing. I think she has good ideas. It's just her execution is just really poor. I don't know. It's just something is not computing and it's not translating. Personally, I think the Devin Bro comparison for anyone is tough. I mean, Devin one of a kind, Spencer. So, I don't know. I feel like I was saying Dallas was kind of like Devin a few weeks back. I mean, even that was a little bit of a stretch. So, I don't know if we can say that.
Isn't it, God love him, I love Devin.
I do too. Devin's one of my favorites.
That Devin is brilliant. Synonymous to attached to a player that's just going, just has potential of a ticking time bomb. Like, anything could happen. Because, I mean, she's even threatened, like, you know, leave at times. So, I mean, the other day she was just saying that she didn't want to be there because there's all the slander and stuff. And, you know, just give me a break. You know.
Here's something that we should talk about, because literally I've heard her talk about that. And I think that's maybe where the Alyssa comparison kind of started. But, like, because Alyssa would say that all the time. Like, I'm going to leave. I don't want to get our two little – but that's the thing that we should talk about. Like, is that a valid gameplay strategy, just by being like, I give up, it's over, I want to go home, I'm walking in DR all the time, telling them I want to go home. Like, is that valid? Like, for someone like me that's in the house where it's like, oh, well, you know, you just, like, you're spitting on all the people that tried out, that couldn't get here, and you're just going to walk away. But at the same time, like, it's a valid gameplay move because it shows that you are defeated, you have given up, you know? Like, it's something that I kind of, like, fight with myself about, because literally Alyssa did that, and I was like, this is travesty, this is blasphemy, you shouldn't say that. But in my head now, I'm like, well, that's kind of a good move. Like, that's kind of a good move, because I'm getting upset about her. So, like, is that a decent move? I don't know.
Yeah, Brent, what do you think about that?
I love the move, especially if you can explain it at the end and say, you know, just, you know, I know I might have done this at this time, but, you know, it was I just wanted to appear weak, I wanted to appear vulnerable. You know, it succeeded handsomely for LaVita during week two, when she, like I said, she totally fell on her sword for Shari. She was trying to, you know, you guys should keep Shari, you know, I want to go home, she's an honorable person, just keep her, you know, she should stay in the game. And of course, they totally ignored her and kept LaVita. By the way, I want to say quickly that I saw Kelsey in the Have Not room talking to Raul and Jared, and Kelsey said to Jared, well, you know, I think the house really needs to respect what Raul and I decide this week.
No, what? No, they don't.
And
no,
Jared
they don't.
Said, you know, I love you, honey, but that's not going to happen. Like, the house is going to do what benefits them, not what you guys decide.
So.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was rich.
Brent, did you also see Kelsey? I think Kelsey was, like, practicing a speech or something, and she was saying, like, yeah, I've played this game, and I've just been, like, so nice and honorable and, like, all this stuff. And
yes, I was just like, yes, what? Yes. Wait, can I just tell you that they finally admitted to each other that Jared and Kelsey see themselves as the good guys. Like, I mean, I feel like, you know, we're always the hero of our own story, but I love the fact that they said it out loud. Like, you know, like, we're the good guys here. Aren't we? Like, come on. Like,
There's something to be said about the psychologicalness of that, because no matter what, every single season, there's always someone that's like, we're the good guys. you know, we're fighting evil here. America's going to see this. Yeah, they're the bad guys. It's us versus them. No matter what, every single season, there's someone that says that. I just want everyone to go home and think about if they've ever said that to themselves where it's like, oh, yeah, I'm just fighting the good fight. Like, you know, when I'm talking about, you know, Donald Trump, when I'm talking about Hillary Clinton, I'm fighting the good. Like, if you ever thought that, you're wrong. 100% you're wrong. Whatever fight you're fighting, you're wrong. 100%.
Yeah, that's why, if you're a house guest, if you're in there, you take the Ian Terry approach of Ian went in there and Ian was like, yeah, I just assumed, like, people, like, would not like me. Like, I've heard Ian say that. Like, and, you know, and because of Ian, people loved Ian. He was so, everyone was so great on BB14. He was the good guy. Dan was the bad guy. Although some people were cheering for Dan, of course, but because he was playing such a great game. But, you know, everyone loved Ian, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that that's such a huge thing is going into Big Brother for future players. Don't assume that Canada loves you. Assume Canada hates you because then when you come out of the house, if they do like you, then it's like, oh, wow, people like me. This is great. Whereas, like, you know, for me coming out, and I'm sure, like, all three of us have come out and we got hate when we came home, right? Like, you know, to varying degrees. Spencer, like, it's ridiculous what you had to go through. I mean, absolutely. I got nothing compared to what you guys had to go through, but I went thinking, oh, man, everyone's going to hate me because of the whole my idiotic move and stuff like that. And people did, and people still do. But because I expected three people to like me, I didn't expect that, and the fact that there were three people that liked me, I was blown away. So that's my little rant for today. Okay, guys, thank you so much for joining us. We're out of time for questions, unfortunately. Spencer McRae, what's next for On the Block?
Next, well, I guess tonight, the new Survivor with all the fixings, so if anybody wants to tune into that, that will be dropping this evening, probably the next 30 minutes or so.
Max and Corinne.
What's Corinne's last name? Kaplan.
Corinne Kaplan, who is just a great character on Survivor. We've kind of hijacked them. We've got them into our little zone. Well. Our web, and now they're doing little Survivor updates for us, and I will tell you right here, right now, that it's one of my favorite podcasts right now. It's
funny the most.
Yeah, and if you like Survivor, go check this out, because this is my pride and joy. I haven't touched this thing, I haven't done anything with it, but I'm so proud of them, because it's such a good show. Everyone go check that out if you are a Survivor fan.
Yeah, and tomorrow, Shield Show will be on. I believe that's around like 7:30 Central Time, also on our YouTube channel. And then we will be back on Thursday night, I believe around 9 o'clock Central, to you know, after the episode, to talk our game. So,
yeah. Tune in. Right.
Yeah. We got a lot going on.
Got a lot going on.
Okay, dial-up bullshit.
So, I can't wait for Spencer to go back and watch this video to see, like, the points in when he was talking, and it kind of, like, the dial-up, like, screwed him up, and his voice went funny. Yeah, it was...
No, it's like you just get really slow, like...
And then I said to Jared...
I thought it was just me. Like, I didn't want to see anything. I didn't know. But it wasn't.
That's what I was like, okay, Spencer, like, whatever Spencer says is so good that I'm like, no, wait, Spencer. We gotta recapture the magic. Because I know you said something.
I have my microphone on drunk mode, I think.
Yeah.
There you go.
I've got my life on drunk mode. All right.
All right, guys, if you enjoyed this episode of The Happy Hour, thank you for joining us. Make sure you don't miss an episode. Subscribe on iTunes. Go to robiswebsite.com/happyhour. That's happy hour with an R at the front. Or go to robiswebsite.com/wrapup. So you get this podcast and everything else that's going on reality TV wrap-ups. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube as well so you can see the great faces that Spencer was making as his dial-up internet was freezing. Okay, guys. Also, one other thing. I almost forgot to mention. Review contest as well for those of you guys listening. So if you would like to win a Jordan Parhar related prize at the end of this season, go to iTunes, so robiswebsite.com/rehappyhour, leave a rating and a review for the Rehappy Hour. Let me know what you think. Does it matter? It can be good, it can be bad, but if you want to win a prize, all you gotta do is do that. End of the season, I'm gonna take out three names and throw them on a hat, draw three out, and you guys are all gonna win something cool from me. Although, well, we'll see if it's actually I'll let you guys decide afterwards. Sorry, Spencer.
Jordan Parhar related.
Yes,
it's pretty vague, bro. That's pretty vague.
It's pretty vague. It's pretty vague, but it's a prize nonetheless. It's a prize. It's a prize nonetheless. So if you guys want to do that, I've already got some coming in, and they've been. I've really appreciated those already. If you guys have left one, so keep them coming. Makes a difference and helps people find the show. Okay, guys, we need a hashtag for this episode. I was thinking we could go. Hashtag Jared's World, because he looks like he could be in Wayne's World, or we could go hashtag Spencer's Dial Up.
I'm partial to Spencer's Dial Up.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. So tweet us after the show. Leave some comments at robinswebsite.com. I love checking out what you guys have to say. I always read the comments. So let me know what you guys thought of the show and tweet us using the hashtag Spencer's Dial Up. You can follow Brent on Twitter. He's at OneLuckyGay. I am at Jordan Parhar. Spencer is at Spencer B. Clausen, and McRae is at McRae Chum. Don't forget to tune in this Wednesday live after the episode. Again, I'll be talking to Neha Sareen from Big Brother Canada 3. She's got a lot of great opinions on this season, and it should be a really great podcast. Okay, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us.
Let's give a big shout-out to Brent.
And let's give him a great big shout-out to Brent.
I'm here all the time. Brent.
Thank you.
I've been on 3 times in 4 days, so yeah, thank
man,
you.
Man, you're killing it. Killing it with a live feed, man. You're the unsung hero of the song.
Thank you.
Yeah, Brent is killing it. Brent, Taryn, Alex, all our live feed guys, they're killing it.
Absolutely. Loving
them. Send all of them some love, seriously, because I don't think Brent, Taryn, and Alex get as much love as you guys deserve, for real.
Yeah.
It's a tough job.
I'm following him right now.
I love Alex. He's always like, he always says very kind things about me, so he's,
Alex, I love you.
I'm flying his hometown and, like, fight somebody for him, probably, with an estimation set over me. And I'm a terrible fighter. Just basically, I would go to his hometown and get beat up for him. You know what I'm saying?
So. Oh, man. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us today. We'll see you next time. For McRae Olson, Spencer Clausen, and Brent Wagamot, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag Spencer's Dial Up. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out. Reality TV, we're happy hour. Reality TV, we're happy hour.